bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass. On Joy 94.9.
Okay.
Sorry. And we're back.
You're on Triple Bypass here on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Christina. Hi.
And we are here once more to help demystify the bisexual. The lyric, that's such a great song. Yeah. I haven't heard it before.
I haven't heard it before either.
I think it's a good anthem.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Getting by. Yeah. That's what we're here to do.
By till the day I die. Maybe not, though. Who knows? Sexuality changes.
And as always, if you want to get by with us, feel free to SMS and join in the conversation. You can do that on 0427-JOIN-949. Well, Christina, how else can they get involved?
You can also email us on onair@joy.org.au.
And don't forget to check out the Joy 94.9 app.
Or our Facebook page.
Or our Facebook page.
Triple bypass and Joy 94.9. Okay, enough with the wankery.
See what that song does to us?
Yeah. It's just exciting. It's just exciting.
It is really exciting.
And it's good to have some excitement. It's been an interesting day. This may surprise some of you guys, but I'm a bit of a news nerd, so I've been tapping into the streams from Parliament.
Oh,
great.
And what have they done now? Yourself? Why?
So they've decided they're going to be publicly funding the yes and no campaign.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah, so that's the big decision that was today. So looking forward to $7.5 million being used to spread information about why we shouldn't get married, or, as the Australian Christian Lobby has already told us, not just about marriage, but about safe schools and about our existences in general.
Now, I heard somewhere that some ridiculous person in the Australian Christian Lobby whatever group saying that gay marriage, the term that they use, because the whole idea of same-sex marriage or even marriage equality hasn't quite sort of, you know, gotten into the brain yet, talking about that if we allow the gay people to get married, it will pull children away from their mothers.
Same guy.
I know the guy.
Lyle Sheldon.
How does that work? When did getting married to someone you love take your child away from the...
I think to
understand how his mind works, one of his reasons as to why he doesn't want marriage equality is because he's married and he doesn't want people to see his wedding ring and think that maybe he's married to a man. Because they would be able to think that.
Well, that does make sense. I guess the other explanation...
That makes sense, does it?
Yeah, it does. Because one of the other explanations I think about when I try and understand people who form those views is I think when there's a lack of oxygen that gets to the brain, the prefrontal cortex can sometimes go offline. And then that's when you're at risk of coming up with crazy shit like this.
No, it's something else. It is something else. That is for sure.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to the next however months until February the 11th.
We don't know. That's still not certain. It's still got to go through the Senate. And Labor's made it pretty clear they're not interested if there's going to be tax-paying dollars involved.
Well, we've got to brace ourselves because it is a serious issue. And we know what happens to the some of the things that occur in the GLBTI community when silly things like this are imposed upon our community.
And I hope people listening realise that, of course, as bisexuals, we are extremely passionate about the causes for queer people. Yes. I know that there can be that because bisexuals can marry, under Australian law some of their partners, it may seem like we're less involved, but this is very, very, very dear to all of us, and we care a lot. And we're going to do everything we can to cheer ourselves up and cheer you up and talk about some other forms of discrimination.
Yeah. That's right.
Yay! Speaking of other forms of discrimination, this is the best segue I've ever come across in my life.
You're welcome.
I would like to introduce to you a very dear friend of mine, Shamita. I will let you say your last name.
Well, that would be Shamita Sivabalan.
There we go, because I'm a white person who's ignorant. But anyway, Sham and I do know each other. We did a show together, a gay show, actually.
A very, very gay show.
Very, very gay show. Extremely fun, and we toured it to Mardi Gras in Sydney, which was... Mardi Gras itself was fantastic, but our run there was kind of abysmal.
What are you talking about, Kay? We had a great time.
Oh, we had a fantastic time.
Fan fucking.
Oh, Okay. So are you actually going to fill us in on what happened? Because that was a bit of a penny drop.
We were at a theatre, which we will not name for fear of being sued.
Good call.
But we were at a theatre that was run by very misogynist and kind of lesbian-hating directors.
Mm. Ironically.
Ironically, yeah, since that we were a gay show and they were a Mardi Gras venue. And we just found our experience there to be, how would you describe it, Sham?
Less than satisfactory.
Yeah.
I think we went in, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed with pretty high expectations because we had heard good things.
And we'd come off a very successful run here in Melbourne.
Yeah, like sold out a bunch of shows in Melbourne. And then, yeah, the reception in Sydney was just not accommodating.
No.
And, yeah, without saying too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So homophobia is putting it lightly.
I think it was lesbophobia,
yeah, so right.
Biphobia,
yeah.
Older women who aren't as attractive as the younger women in the class,
oh,
phobia.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a big thing as well.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah. So sexism. Mm-hmm.
Sexism. Yeah.
All the fun things.
All the fun things. Yeah, it sounds right. It sounds like it was a really...
Phobia salad.
Yeah.
It was with a bit of garnish of just general cockroach.
Cockroach!
Love so that many, in my salad.
There were so many cockroaches there. Like, we were sitting backstage and there was a nest.
Literally cockroaches.
Like actual little crawly cockroaches that freak me the hell out. And
oh,
so
that was bad.
I'm at backstage just going.
Like every time a cockroach ran across, you'd just be like, don't say anything, don't tell Kate. Let it go.
I would lose my shit, literally. Yeah. However, we brought Sham on because I would like to begin a new segment of our show called Bisexual People Who Can Do Other Things As Well As Being Bi.
Wow, that happens?
It does happen.
Tell me more.
Well, Shamita here, like myself, is an actor, model, dancer, occasional drag king herself, and a bisexual.
Wow.
Shock horror.
How do you fit it all in?
Oh, well, you know, a lot of scheduling and coffee.
Spinning lots of plates there. You get sore wrists.
Oh, often. Sore wrists from various things. Obviously, being bisexual is another plate in itself.
Of course.
Just doing two things at once.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's all it means you're very good at it.
I'm sorry. I'm very inappropriate.
No, perfect for the show.
I think it's pretty accurate. I think we're allowed to say that about ourselves. Now, I think we are going to go to some sponsorship announcements, then another song, but stay tuned. We're on Joy 94.9.
And you're with Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. We had a message from Big Dogger. All Anthony's going to say, honey, is thank you.
Thank you, Dogger.
We love that you listen to our show, Dogger.
We do. We do appreciate it. If you want to send us a message, let us know what you're feeling, doing, eating, singing, whatever. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or you can email us on onair@joy.org.au or you can get onto our Facebook page, which is Triple Bypass at Joy949 and drop us a message and say hi. But you're with Christina.
Ruby.
And Anthony.
And
Jem.
Yay!
So that was Sia the Greatest, which is her recent song that's just come out. This song, I think, as we were just talking about off air, it was actually inspired by the Orlando shooting.
Mm.
And it's a really, really great video clip. She's got that the young girl who danced for Chandelier.
Maddie Ziegler,
incredible. And so it starts off with basically her dragging her fingers down her face, and then she her fingers have got rainbow paint, so she leaves like these rainbow like warrior stripes on her face, and then
cool.
Like it just flashes black, and then like the hashtag We Are Your Children.
Yeah.
And then, like, again, you have to, everyone should check it out. It is incredible. It's a really, really beautiful
Sounds
thing.
Awesome.
Oh, we've got another message in.
It would be from Big Dogger. And we just made his night.
Oh,
you're a sweetheart, sweetie.
Thank you, lovely. Love your mustache.
Now, while we're off air, Sham, we're talking about some other things that went down while you guys were in Sydney.
Mm.
Please fill us in. Fill our listeners in.
Go, Sham, another ding dong.
Well, we were kind of talking about the idea of sort of misogyny in queer spaces themselves.
Mm.
So the show that we were bringing to Sydney was obviously very, like, I don't know, we tried to be very inclusive.
We were very inclusive.
Yeah, I think we were. And yet we had one audience member who was a perf turf. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's penis exclusionary and trans exclusionary radical feminist. And yeah, like, I can't remember exactly what she said, but it cut and it felt very unjust and unfounded, I think.
It was about Joseph.
Oh, Joseph.
Who, yes. Our show was run entirely by women apart from one of our cast members, which was Joseph, baby, sweet baby Joseph.
Sweet baby Joseph. Lovely boy.
Dragged up to play one of the characters, and this person came and saw the show and then put on our Facebook event page that beware, this show is had an erect penis on stage.
Which never happened.
Which was untrue entirely. And not a safe space for women, not a safe space for lesbians, and how can we call ourselves a gay show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, I think that was awful for certain reasons. One being the fact that they were just assuming that Joseph was identifying as a cis male.
Yep.
Because, you know, who are you to put a gender on someone?
He actually identifies as gender fluid, so, you know, poo to you.
And even if Joseph was a cis male, like, Joseph was playing that character with the utmost depth and sensitivity, and I just really felt like that was so unfounded on that person's part.
Right, but I guess this brings up the issue. I wonder about, you know, when we have allocated spaces to connect and express our identities with other people, that we have a common denominator, how much we want to protect that space, and when something happens that we feel might threaten that space, I guess these sorts of things can happen.
Mm. Well, I think that was similar to what Christina's wife was saying when she was on the show about lesbians and it being a female space and bisexual women being seen as bringing men into a female space. And, like, you know, women fight really hard to have spaces that are just for us. So there is that kind of, again, that kind of traitor element. And I think that's one of the things that I think hopefully that will happen within the queer LGBTIQ community is that the kind of the gender segregation that we put onto ourselves will start to lessen. I saw even recently there was an article about The Peel, which I've talked about before, and the owner, you know, standing by his policies, you know, to, like, you know, really strictly control how many women can go in and kicking women out for kissing other women
or
and stuff like that.
Straight partners bringing them in.
And they're not allowed to dance on the podiums either.
Yeah, not allowed to dance on the podiums, not allowed to kiss anybody.
I am a long-time podium dancer.
Yeah.
A bad podium dancer, but a podium dancer nonetheless. Yeah. I uphold my right to dance on podiums all over the world.
Yes.
As badly as she wants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I think that is something that will come over time because there's still a lot of, I think it's difficult for the genders to combine when there's still so much inequality with genders that that perpetuates a lot of queer spaces as well.
I think what we found so distressing about the whole thing was we adored our show and we adored each other in our cast, and it was a very safe space for us to be in, and it was a very safe queer space for us to be in because every single member of the cast was queer.
Well, with the exception of
Kim, but she wasn't there.
She
was didn't come to Sydney. But even then, she was a straight ally, and very much so. To have someone bring in that kind of negativity into a space that we had created for ourselves as well was kind of like that's not what we came here for. We came here to include everyone and it was a very fun show and it was a very camp show.
And he wasn't even erect, you were saying?
He wasn't erect at all.
No,
I think he didn't tuck. But,
so I think that's the bit that I find, like, weird. Like, why was she looking so
intently
for Adam?
I know.
Maybe looking for something threatening because of the worry that the space has been invaded, if there's an expectation that this is going to be a sacred space.
Policing or, like, gatekeeping almost in the space. That, because that's how it comes off. When you're closing it to people, it's closing it.
Yeah.
It's not just trying to keep it safe. You're trying to commit parts to exclude.
But I think that this is commonly happens in our community because I know working for a known sort of gay male, same sex attracted male, men who have sex with men sort of space, I don't know, am I allowed to talk about my work? We pride ourselves on representing the community, the queer community, but you know, how inclusive are we of that community? And I think we might be at risk of even sort of harming the people that sort of belong to our community by not behaving sort of more inclusively or understanding what that actually means.
Well, I'm not sure. I found a recent Well, actually, I found a recent study, but I'm going to talk about that after this short break, where we bring some more sponsors and another song, which will be Dorothy with the Wicked Ones. Stay tuned. You're on Joy 94.9.
Gorgeous Tuesday, Melbourne
Tuesday,
evening.
Yes.
And you're with Anthony.
Christina.
And Ruby.
And...
Sham!
Sham! Now, before we went to that song, which was, again, for listeners, that was Wicked Ones by Dorothy, I was talking about a survey that I found on Beyond Blue when I was doing some research for my show, The Informer. We did the bit on mental health and discrimination, and we found that bisexual people are actually more likely to be found to have issues with depression than homosexual people. So bisexual people suffer more from depression, and more bisexuals suffer from depression than homosexuals do. And this has been found continuously since people have started studying those levels in queer people. And this was part of a thing I was looking into and how discrimination affects mental illness. And of course that came around with like what was happening with people of colour within the queer community as well. And that's Sham. I would love it if you could have a chat with us about that, because
definitely, yeah. I happen to be queer and a person of colour.
That was my angle. Yes,
I see what you did there.
It's an audio medium. I can't see her.
So I'm brown. Just,
what? Yeah. Are you brown?
Brown and female and bisexual. So
trifecta.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. If life was handing out cards, I got some interesting ones. Mm. Yeah.
Difficulty mode. Hardcore mode.
You and my wife get along so well.
I think so. Yeah. Probably.
So if you can answer me, this overprivileged white male, do those three things, I mean, I'm just thinking about intersectionalities and how they, do you experience discrimination in one form more prominently than others? And does it happen in certain spaces more? Like, I'm wondering about your experience in the queer community in particular.
Totally, yeah. Because if we're talking about, like, globally, the fact that I am female is a big card, and that's probably like the majority of where any kind of, you know, judgment comes from. Yeah. But within the queer community itself, I think bi erasure is very prevalent still. Mm-hmm. It is often a bit disheartening, but you know, we're getting there. However, being a person of colour is an interesting one too, because people of colour have different experiences than, say, anyone that does not potentially identify as heterosexual in the queer community. So, like, not to sound like we have another trump card on top of anyone that does not identify as straight. But, yeah, like, I think that there is a lot of cultural stuff that comes in as well. If you're a queer person of colour, it's like, it's not just the, my parents are not going to accept me. It's like, this whole thing is against a certain, you know. But then on the other hand, saying that, there have been a lot of, like, especially Asian cultures, there's been a lot of prevalence of, like, homosexuality.
Yeah.
And it's almost like quite a normal thing.
I was thinking of Japan and yaoi and, like, you right. know, and or like they kind of have, they have a lot of, like, things designed by women that are about men having sex, and while this is like a really common thing, they still like don't allow like marriage equality or anything like that. So it's so it's
like yaoi.
It's look.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that is.
Sorry. It's cool. It's it's like a form of manga that features male relationships, like gay relationships between men, and it's mostly done like drawn and written by women for women.
Oh, okay.
And it's like this whole genre, but like, surprisingly, even though this exists and like is really prevalent, you know, it's still like the country itself and like the laws and the culture do not accept, you know, you marrying someone the same sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that kind of what?
That's one. I mean, I could give you one example. In India, historically, they've been quite open with like different sexualities and that kind of thing. However, like, as we've progressed and colonialism has happened, you know, the attitudes towards like same-sex relationships have been very, very different. And I think, like, don't quote me on this, but for a period of time it was okay for like domestic partnerships between men and between women and stuff to be like, you know, it was permissible. But then I think a couple of years ago they took that law away. Now, really? I'm not educated enough on the topic, but yeah, I just found that interesting and I wondered why.
Yeah, I thought homosexual, inverted commas, acts was illegal in India.
Well, yeah, like now it definitely
now
is. It was the kind of thing where it's like, it's very weird with like different cultures, because it's almost like, yeah, it's not really allowed, But, like, if it happens and it's a bit swept under the rug, right, it's kind of whatever.
So there's been almost like a step back recently.
It has, yeah.
It's kind of like smoking pot in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's like it happens.
It's illegal. They'll turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
You do it in your own bedroom.
But bake it into something and just shut up.
But still, occasionally someone will get rounded up by the police and put away for a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
Every now and again.
Yeah, yeah.
Chrissy tells me stories of South Africa in which, you know, same-sex marriage is legal there, and yet you still can't walk down the street holding your partner's hand for fear of getting, you know, corrective raped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the cultural versus the legal versus...
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
It's just another factor.
It is another factor. It must be, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, I think about that too, that reaction, because I think about those, you know, the characteristics that you know, we all are assigned or have or possess or whatever, and the discrimination that's attached to that. And you mentioned some three key ones there that you grapple with, perhaps sometimes on a daily basis. Does it get... do you constantly feel like an activist trying to educate people?
It's funny. If you had asked me this maybe 3 years ago, I would have been like, I always have to do this and I always have to educate people. Mm. And like, I was just so like, just such an anarchist about everything. However, I think like I'm still very much like that. Like, I do like to educate people and kind of let them know if something they've said is a little bit out of line, but I think I take a very different stance on it in the way that I do it.
Right.
For example, yeah, there was someone the other day who was I hope he's not listening in right now, he probably won't be. But yeah, like, I'm very involved in like a community that's very into like fashion and that kind of thing, and sometimes I think that especially in queer spaces, like, a lot of things can be appropriated because people are not aware of like the roots or where it comes from, right. And you know, and I feel like kind of I shouldn't be like telling them what they can't and can do, but I should tell them where certain things come from, because I feel like if I'm not saying anything, then what's going to change?
Yeah.
So yeah, someone was just had put a little red dot in the middle of his forehead, and very fashionable person, awesome, but probably just was unaware of what that symbolized.
Yeah.
And so I was really awkward about it, and I was like, how do I approach this without sounding like an asshole? But I did tell him. I was kind of like, so you know that thing on your forehead? And he's just like, yeah. And I'm like, do you know what that means in like Indian culture? Just wondering. I mean, you know, just 'cause. And he was like, oh, nah. And I was like, oh, well, it's funny because usually, you know, in India, like if you have a red dot, it means that you're married, or like, and usually it's just for women. Mm. And he's not like gender fluid or anything. Just, and he was just like, oh, no, I didn't know that. Oh, but I don't really care. And I was like, okay then.
Oh, really?
Because what was I meant to say from that? Yeah. Like, well, you should care, because I just didn't want to, like, I feel like if I'm enforcing this upon someone, I don't know. Am
I
better?
Point. How far do we go? How much do we?
What's the best way to talk about it? Because often people kind of shut down or like, you know, get defensive. You can't be like, well, that's wrong.
Yeah, totally.
You know, that's kind of what we're like looking at a bit with the plebiscite. It's like, how do we do that without being like... Yeah.
See, I have no filter with that kind of stuff. It would be like, dude, you should bloody care.
Yeah.
Take the effing thing off.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care that you're white and male.
I've had that with the tribal headdress.
Oh, I don't like that.
When I was at Burning Seed a few years ago, I had to just tap a guy. I'm like, hey, man, like... It's nice and all, and like, I'm sure it, like, you know, it's really pretty, but you probably shouldn't be wearing. And I did do some reading. I was like, it's kind of like wearing like a Medal of Honor when you didn't fight in a war,
totally.
Or your family didn't fight in a war.
Totally.
Like, and I know that they've been in a lot of magazines and stuff, but there's been a lot of blowback.
It's like tribal tattoos on white people or on people who don't have those. I mean, I'm a Kiwi, and I've been considering for years getting a couple of korus on my.
Oh, amazing.
But I have that thing of like,
can I do it?
And, you know, and talking to some of my Māori friends back home, they're like, of course you can. You know, you respect our culture and you grew up with our culture. And I suspect there's a tiny little bit of Māori blood in me somewhere. But still, I think it's important to have that, just give it pause and think, is this being respectful to a culture that is not actually my own? How much I may identify with it. If it's not mine, do I have the right to?
And it's interesting because, like, there's a point where I think if we're policing things too much, we're just going to end up, like, 50 steps backwards, right?
Yeah.
Because
the separatism is only going to, you know, go so far.
Because there's a difference between, like, cultural sharing and, like, embracing versus appropriating, you know. But I don't know how we got onto culture from...
Yeah, well, we're talking about discrimination. We're talking about biphobia.
Well, it reminds me kind of like, you know how there's like, we talk about white feminism, which is like feminism doesn't take into account the experiences of non-white women.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just the same thing kind of exists in the queer community, you know, like white queerness, and like, you know, or even like, you know, male white queerness and female white queerness and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm guessing it probably does.
I think so. I mean, like, I do feel like sometimes if you come into like a queer space, especially if it's like a gay male space, I have found at, you know, certain popular venues, like, you know, you come in, and if I have a lot of gay male friends who are total legends, and, you know, I used to party with them a lot, and I thought that it was interesting that every time I came in with them, people would automatically assume I was that straight girl crashing the gay bar. And it's just and I think that is a little bit of internalized, I don't even know what you would games of me.
I guess what because it's again, there's been that separatism between the gays and the lesbians.
It's like you're an infiltrator. You're infiltrating the spaces, because we've put up these like really, we've got to take a break, everyone. Let's take a breath. Take a moment.
Have a Kit Kat.
Listen to some sponsorship announcements and another song. We'll be back. You're on Joy 94.9.
You're on Triple Bypass.
Yes. Here on Joy 94.9, I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Christina.
And I'm Sham.
Yay!
Now, while we were, and so just everyone knows, that was, of course, the amazing and incomparable Kylie Minogue.
Oh, love Kylie.
Love her so much. No, my ex-girlfriend fell over her once at a warehouse party. Actually fell over her.
What?
She was bending down, tying up her shoes. One of her shoe straps had come, and Dana comes along and just trips over
She's quite a small person anyway.
She's very small.
Like 5 foot nothing.
Yeah. And she was bent over, and so my girl at the time was like, oh, hi, Kylie.
While that song was playing, we were chatting about the bi conundrum. The awkwardness you feel when you're in a heterosexual relationship in a queer space.
Yeah.
So we were talking about, you know, if you are at a queer space and, you know, if I was at, you know, a gay venue or a queer venue and I met a bisexual guy and we started kissing, people would not be cool with that.
Betrayer!
Like, I think we were talking about how people would feel like, why are you doing that here?
Yeah.
And then, you know, that of course, and it's like, and I've definitely felt like, I have kissed a boy at a queer place and there was like the serious side eyes going on there. Mm. And it was just like, it was actually worse than what I've got from holding my girlfriend's hand on the street. Like, it was, that was the thing. I was just like,
get out.
Yeah, I was like, so this is what it must be like to live in like a rural town and gay. Yeah. To everyone just be like, what are you doing?
Yes, how dare you?
And I must admit, the whole reason why we started talking about this was I was at a club on the weekend with my wife, and there was a straight couple, I assumed were straight, I'll put that out there, who started kissing on the dance floor, and it was a gay venue, and I had that moment of, I don't like
that. Was it a gay male venue or was it a queer venue?
It's a queer venue.
Yeah.
It was a queer venue. I mean, can I name it on air? No? Whatever. Yeah. The Greyhound. It was the Greyhound.
Oh, okay.
Which is like, my I just did it. If we get sued, you can blame me.
Sorry, Greyhound.
The Greyhound's great. So are the other queer venues out there. But yeah, I had that moment of, you're not supposed to do that there because this is our space. Mm. This is our space for us same-sex attracted people. And just completely... Just, you know, and if I was in a relationship with a man, I don't know that I would feel comfortable doing that.
No, in a queer space. Just jumping onto that, actually. Like, I'm in a relationship with a, you know, a male at the moment. Awesome, very beautiful man.
Oh, he's a honey. Gorgeous, he is.
And yeah, it's funny because I think, especially when we first sort of started dating, like, he's totally open to going to queer venues. He's very queer in his own way, to be honest. And yeah, like, I just felt like every time we went into, like, you know, a gay venue, I'd just be like, oh my gosh, I have to like dyke this thing up because I don't want to look too straight. Oh, yeah. And it was just really funny. Like, I remember the first time we went to, it might have been Thursday, I'm not sure. I rocked up wearing these super baggy jeans and like, I was like, don't stand too close to me, Jared. I have to like, I need to maintain my gay cred right now.
I think that's a real thing though, because I can relate to that. It sounds like we all can relate to it in some way. Did your partner understand that sort of dynamic that was playing out there, or maybe your sort of reaction that he might have, did he see it as unusual or anything?
Honestly, no. I think he's very I don't want to say understanding about the whole thing, because he should fucking understand. very just good about the whole thing, and he was just like, yeah, I get it. And he's very like, just awesome.
Yeah, I never, when I dated guys, I never took them to queer venues. Like, I didn't feel like I had the right to. And it was the same thing. Mm. I feel differently now just because I feel like, you know, judging anyone for who they're kissing is literally against what we're supposed to be protecting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but this is the bi conundrum that we're talking about. Yeah. That we have these feelings, although even though we know what that feels like and to be in the opposite position.
Yeah. And I remember I've seen, like, I'm on Tumblr. And when I was on Tumblr, and I remember seeing someone who was like, you know, who was violently angry at the idea of a bisexual person bringing a partner of the opposite sex to Pride. Like, really upset. And was basically just like, you know, this is not a place for you. You know, you've chosen your side.
Oh, really?
Stick with it. And it, like, and I will say, I have felt like, I, you know, people, there was a whole thing of like, you've chosen your side. And I felt like in some ways I had, when I was dating guys, that I'd given up my access pass. Like, I'd had to, like, you know, hand in my gun and badge, like, you know, all of that.
That's a really important thing. I think that this is what is so sad, actually, about sometimes the divided loyalties, will we call it that, that we feel that we have to sort of nurture sort of the relationships that we have with both communities. And I think it's not surprising we would have this struggle, because this is some of the reactions that are a reality for some of us.
Well, I think it also explains why we see such issues with depression, because as I was saying, you know, when you feel that way and you feel like you have to choose, you don't then go and get help for that choice, because you feel like you've had to make it for yourself. And so it doesn't even, like, register as something that might actually need, you know, that's not something you can actually air and talk about.
Yeah.
And, like, because, you know, we don't have bi spaces, you know.
That's true.
There's a Victorian gay and lesbian lobby, there are Victorian gay and lesbian groups, and there are Australian gay and lesbian groups, and even Joy is still, you know, was until recently a gay and lesbian station, and that's been the names on these spaces. Mm. And, you know, that makes that very clear. Like, you know, like, that's who it's for, and if you're not that, you're not welcome. And I think, again, it's a gender thing. It's that kind of, and hopefully, because I think, and hopefully with the, as queerness slowly overtakes us all, and, you know, and we acknowledge gender for the wonderful, slippery, fluid thing that it is, that'll seem less important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But group membership is important, and we're human, and we want to feel included, not excluded. And when I'm in my straight spaces, boy, did I camp it up. Like, I confuse the hell out of a lot of people.
Yeah.
I do. And and that's part of the way I express my sort of commitment to my same-sex attractedness when I'm in opposite-sex attracted kind of feeling spaces.
Yeah, true. You just want to kind of agitate people a bit. I think it's a little...
You don't want them to think you're straight. Like, I am terrified someone will think I'm straight. I don't want someone to think I'm straight. Yeah. God, no.
I also feel like it's something that I need to fight for. My gay side and my gay compatriots and my gayness is something that even when I'm in a straight space, I feel like I need to fight for that, because it's...
But even now we're calling it gayness, and it's like, you know, it's not gayness.
Umbrella-ing.
But we say gay as the umbrella term. And
true,
like, you know, and
it is gay.
Yeah, and like, while of course it seems like, oh, just, oh, well, you know, whatever. But no, that's not the word for everybody.
I will say it's the word for me. I celebrate my gayness because it is, in my mind, being of an older generation, there's a part of me that's gay and there's a part of me that's straight.
Mm.
And it's the whole thing about bisexuality for me and my struggle with it was the connotations that was with that, and that somehow that put me in a completely other position, and I didn't want to be in an other place. I wanted to be a part of this community.
Yeah,
I think it's like there's like, you know, straight is vanilla, and and, like, you know, and gay is, let's say, chocolate. But bisexuality isn't vanilla
and
chocolate.
It's like it's chocolate, strawberry, vanilla.
It's strawberry. It's a different flavor. It's not half of the two things. It's a separate thing.
You can put chocolate sauce on vanilla.
You can. I think is that like, you know, straight presenting? There's guys who are like, yeah, I'm totally straight. I just go to the saunas occasionally, you know.
Love that chocolate sauce.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
This is why everyone loves you, Anthony.
Yes, it is. You're on Joy.
You're on Triple Bypass with Sham,
Ruby,
Anthony,
and Christina
on Joy 94.9. Nice one, Sham.
Yeah. That
freaked me out. I just have to adjust my microphone because I was using it as a penis before.
Yes.
And I want...
We'll just let that one penis. Go, Christina.
My microphone's actually very phallic. Why is mine more phallic than the rest of yours?
Because you're in a relationship with a man.
Oh!
You start to see him everywhere.
And so when you look at architects, it's like, all right, I see what you're doing, boys. I see it. I see it. It's a tall building. Well done.
Oh, my God.
Can we have some domes somewhere? Just twin domes just hanging out somewhere?
I'm just feeling like,
you know, or maybe a clam.
Well, people pointed out, like, you know, glaciers and, like, you know, ravines. Like, you know, natural cause events.
My favorite places.
Yeah. Look pretty vaginal. Like, so the nature makes vaginas, and men are like, I'm going to make a huge dick. The Washington Monument.
Oh my God.
Do you know that there's a, it's called Morgan's Creek or Morgan's Blood on at Hanging Rock?
Morgan's Blood?
Morgan's Blood.
And at Hanging Rock.
It is a massive yoni in the side of a rock. A yoni is female genitalia.
I think
like a vagina. But it has this rust brown stain.
We've all been there.
Right.
We've all
been there.
Oh, every time I'm there, I'm like, hail, but wow.
Well, wow, that stain. That's
a stain.
It was like we're still making like a sacrifice to the god of cramps or like. Sorry, like I'm not sure
what
it was for.
I don't know.
It's not a place of worship, perhaps.
They're pretty great. They are pretty great. You know, worshipping is an appropriate response.
I think people should worship some yonis.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Well, you know, we've been talking about all sorts of types of discrimination, biphobia in particular, and the bi-struggle. I think we've put that on the map
a little bit tonight.
The bi-conundrum, yes.
Yep.
I was actually just thinking of, while I was checking my phone before, I was talking about the plebiscite. There was a great article out talking about how, you know, only white men over the age of 21 will be eligible to vote for the upcoming same-sex marriage plebiscite in order to preserve the traditional definition of voting.
Ouch.
Just a nice little reminder that traditional means jack shit.
We just got an interesting message from Jade. Hi, Jade. Thanks for writing in. And Jade says, bisexuals are attracted to more than one gender. Pansexuals are attracted to all genders. Queer sexuals are attracted to genders beyond the binary. They are all neither straight nor gay. They are their own paradigm.
Nice one, Jade.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. I've never actually heard the expression queer sexuals. Because I think we discussed on the show before, I'm attracted to people beyond the gender binary.
Yeah,
definitely.
So kind of pan?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We've talked about this. So the definition between bi and pan, I think, is very rarely understood by... I think everyone has, like, their individual definitions.
Totally.
Mine would be that I believe that bisexuals' gender is a factor in attraction. No matter what gender that happens to be, it's a factor.
Yes.
Mm. And for pansexuals, it's not. Mm. But that's just, again, my understanding. And I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's interesting.
My understanding of pansexual is kind of sort of like, you know, bisexual, obviously, sort of one gender or another. Pansexual just meaning attracted to more than two genders, but gender is actually a factor still. Because there's something about that particular gender that I'm attracted to with that person.
I feel sometimes like bisexuality was like, you know, because it was a term that was kind of, you know, really solidified before we had a better understanding of things like you know, non-binary and, you know, and gender fluid people, like, and I think as well there's been a bit of a misunderstanding that bisexuals aren't attracted to trans people. I think that was a thing as well, like people were like, oh, pan means that you're also trans attracted, but I think that would mean separating trans people from a gender, and that's not how see it.
Of course they're non-identified.
Non-binary,
it's complicated. I've always thought, you know, like I identify as pans, like bisexual, but you know, there's a fine line between pan and bi, and like, you know, who's saying that if I meet together the right person, you know, like I could be attracted to them regardless of what's going on, you know?
Yeah. That's why I like to describe my relationships as queer. I think sometimes I feel like that's a sort of safer, sort of also respectful way of sort of describing the relationship.
I think queer is a good word for everything, but unfortunately that is all the time we have for tonight.